The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Welcome in. We have some breaking news. Obviously, it's not so breaking now. It's 9 o'clock at night, you know, in the central time.
Just
came out
hours.
This morning. Yeah, so that we were waiting on this morning finally came out. Deshaun Watson was suspended for 6 games. You know, I think this is kind of in the range of kind of what we, you know, kind of expected somewhere in that, you know, anywhere from 4 to 8 games, I think is where I think most people were coming in on this. You know, the NFL now has, you know, 2 more days, I guess, to appeal this ruling by Sue Robinson. And as of right now, as things stand, I mean, he is suspended for the next, for the first six games of the season. Now, for some context behind that, if this holds and if it's just 6 games, the schedule opens up for them pretty favorably. So I don't think the season's ruined by any stretch of the imagination because they get the Panthers, Jets, Steelers, Falcons for the first 4 games of the season. I don't think you could ask for a better start, you know, with a Jacoby Brissett led, offense here. But then you get the Chargers and the Patriots. And then from there, when he would be able to come back would be week 7, but they do have a week 9 bye. So some of that factors in because this isn't just a 6-game suspension. You're also losing him for a 7th game because the bye is going to be involved in this as well. And so one, I guess, Robbie, just to start off, like, would you look to draft him, like, in a single quarterback league? Would you look to take him, you know, later in a draft? Let's say you wait on quarterback and you end up with, you know, more of a later round type quarterback. Would you look to take Deshaun Watson, knowing what he can provide you once these, once suspension's over with?
I think the only way I'm doing it, and you and I have talked about this, where we're trying not to wait and grab the later quarterbacks. We're starting to try and grab one of those top 6 or 7 guys in the mocks what we've been doing, and we'll do another mock on Wednesday, so might see how that goes. But if I have waited, if I'm taking a shot on like a Justin Fields, Trey Lance, 2 guys that you're high on, right, because we know that there's some kind of ceiling there, but we also know that the floor is extremely low as well, then that might be the one few occasions where I draft a second quarterback, just because if they flop, right, and we're looking at they're not going to be the starting option for my fantasy team week in, week out, then you can pivot to a Deshaun Watson after a couple of weeks. But I mean, that's the rarest of cases. I mean, you're talking about Russell Wilson, Joe Burrow, Dak Prescott, Kirk Cousins, Matt Stafford, Aaron Rodgers. Those are all going down to QB 13, Jameis Winston, Derek Carr. Those are all guys that are going to be close enough to Watson when he comes back, where I'm going to take the 6 games and I'm not going to look back. So you have to get down there to quarterback 17, 18, 19 for me before you consider taking Watson as that QB2. How about yourself?
I think it comes down to how many bench spots you have, right? And how big of a, like in a 12-team league, if you're in a league that only has like five bench spots, I probably couldn't do it because those bench spots are super valuable. Now, if you're in a league with a little bit more, maybe seven bench spots, maybe I could feel a little bit more comfortable doing so, knowing the upside that he's going to bring once he returns. I think that you can, but... Like I don't think he's like a must draft guy or something like that, you know, because I mean, you're still talking about a long portion of the season that he is going to miss. And, you know, if you do miss on whatever quarterback you take, because, you know, let's be honest, in most like your traditional leagues, I think your average redraft league, most teams are going to take multiple quarterbacks. That's usually how it works. You know, because people are always like, oh, I got to get my bye week quarterback. You know, it may not matter if that your player doesn't have a bye week to week 12. You're still going to, you know, you have to take that bye week quarterback, you know, just to make yourself feel comfortable. And we all know that's not what you should do, right? But that's what a lot of people do. And so, I mean, there might not be a lot left out there as well, depending on what quarterback you get. So, again, in a single quarterback league, I don't think you need to do it. Like, I get the upside that he provides because, you know, he is a top five quarterback when healthy and when ready to go. You know, and I'm not worried about whatever, you know, issues. He's going to be able to go through all of camp. He's going to be able to play preseason. He's going to do all these things all the way up to that point, you know, until week one starts. Then, obviously, the suspension will start for him. So, I mean, he's going to get all those reps, and he'll just, you know, obviously be away for the first 6 weeks. I can't imagine that they would, you know, anything else would be there. But, you know, and one common sentiment today was, you know, the Calvin Ridley comparison of gets a year, Deshaun Watson gets 6 years. JJ, you posted the question. It's kind of a slippery slope to talk about because we're not like condoning what happened, you know, and what Deshaun Watson did. But the Calvin Ridley situation, Deshaun Watson situation are just two totally different things, right? They're two totally different separate situations. And while like it makes sense on one hand why Calvin Ridley got the suspension he got, because you're talking about messing with the integrity of the game. If people start questioning, you know, are games legit? Are games fixed? You know, and are players, you know, betting on, you know, all this stuff happens, then it completely ruins the sport, right? Where Deshaun Watson's situation is, if what he did was true and all this stuff, then, I mean, he shouldn't even be in the NFL ever, and he should never play again. But, you know, the ruling is what it is, you know, and he got suspended six games, whereas the Deshaun Watson situation is something that's completely different of a situation.
Yeah. That's been the sentiment on Twitter, is trying to compare the two situations. And obviously we can only react to what the NFL decides to do. I mean, this isn't the first time that they've had a suspension that we thought was lighter when something else has happened, right? I mean, going all the way back to the Ray Rice, I think that was two games, right? Going all the way back to his incident. And so we've just seen that there's always going to be public backlash on long enough, too long, not long enough, right? And so I'm trying to just stick to the fantasy implications because that's the only thing I can really help with for folks. So in regards to Watson, I mean, Cody brought up a good point. If you can put suspension players on IR, one, I don't like that. That's kind of a cheat code for your league. But if your league allows you to do that, absolutely. I think he's worth one of these later rounds. I'm not trying to reach for him, you know, above the 10th round. He's going to have to be somewhere in the teens before I'm trying to do that. But yeah, you could do that in that case because he's not taking up an extra roster spot in that case.
See, here's the thing, and yeah, I mean, I guess if you could do that, then fine. I mean, I guess you could do that. But as soon as you start getting some players that get hurt, you know, you're going to be – he's probably going to be the first – you know, he's probably going to be the guy you drop. So, I mean, I think that's an option. But, you know, there's no way – and while, you know, there's no way the NFL doesn't appeal the suspension to make it longer. Listen, this is the thing, though. If they were to do that, who knows how long this stretches out. If it's being appealed, he plays. He's playing week one. Like, then he's not sitting out. And so I don't know if the NFL does that or not, because, I mean, they could push this thing out for a long time. I mean, it could go into the offseason before it's settled, right? And so then he would just play the entire year, and there would be no suspension if that's the way this took place. Because if there's an appeal, then he can't be you know, suspended, right? And so I don't know if they do that or not. And, you know, Deshaun Watson and the NFLPA have both said that if they appeal this, they are going to sue the NFL. And I don't know if that's what they want either, because, you know, a judge has already ruled on this, and, you know, and this was kind of what was put in place for the CBA, for this to be able to take place, for them to be able to, you know, have this process and go through all this stuff. And then now, you know, if the NFL tries to, you know, add more games onto this or whatever, there's going to be much more of a bigger legal fight on their hands than just this. So I don't know. it's a tricky situation to be in. And, you know, I'm happy that we finally got the suspension, to be honest with you, that you know, we kind of have some clarity now of what's going on, because I felt like this should have come out a long time ago, because we've been just kind of been waiting and waiting and waiting to see what was going to happen. It's been all over the place. It started with a year, then it started to drop, but then all of a sudden there was some news. Oh, maybe there's going to be no suspension. Maybe it's two games, maybe it's four games. So now we got the suspension to six games. So that being said, let's actually talk about how this is going to impact the Cleveland Browns, at least for the first six games. Let's operate under the assumption that this is going to be, you know, just your natural, you know, six-game suspension and nothing else is going to change. Obviously, if something does, then we'll talk about that at a later time. But as of right now, how do you view this? This impacts the offense with Jacoby Brissett, because for me, I think this is an upgrade for Nick Chubb, at least for the first 6 weeks, because I think you're going to see them be much more of what they were last year, extremely run heavy, you know, lean on Nick Chubb, lean on Kareem Hunt. And then, you know, you basically let Jacoby Brissett manage the games. We already talked about, they get the Panthers, Jets, Steelers, and Falcons, those first four games. There's really no reason that they're probably going to be pushed to really have to throw the ball a ton. They still have a very, very good defense. And so I feel like that's probably what's more going to happen. I think this negatively affects Amari Cooper the most, because I don't know how if he's going to see a ton of volume. But what I will say is that, you know, his time last year with the Dolphins, I mean, he heavily targeted like Jalen Waddle whenever the few games that he started. I could see a ton of targets coming. You're not going to probably see something where they really spread the ball out a ton, you know, or anything like that. I think you probably see a lot of condensed targets share going to David Njoku, to Amari Cooper, and then, you know, whatever running back like Kareem Hunt out of the backfield. That's kind of how I see this. But I think this is the biggest positive for Kareem Hunt, or not, excuse me, not Kareem Hunt, but Nick Chubb.
Yeah, honestly, like you and I, when you said this at the top, like we were kind of expecting right around here, right? Like I was always kind of on the eight games. You were saying it's going to be a little bit less than that, maybe four, maybe six, somewhere around there. So honestly, my ranks didn't change a whole lot. Just maybe adjusting for a couple games here and there. But I don't know if I view this as a win for Chubb, because obviously, like, the offense is going to be much worse in a place than it was with Baker, because I have a difference of Baker and Brissett. I know you think they're kind of close, but Brissett's a step down handedly from Baker. And so I think obviously a lot of teams can just key on the running game, right? And what does Chubb build his fantasy prowess on? It's from his efficiency, right? He's always been a guy that just rips off big gain after big gain. And if you don't have to account for a guy who's ran this offense, you know, for a handful of years, who definitely has a better command of the offense than Jacoby Brissett in his first year with this offense, you know, I think there's going to be some struggles. We know that Brissett has never really produced great fantasy options around him. I think we had T.Y. Hilton as a wide receiver too back in 2017, what was about the best that we had from him. So I do think that it's worse for Chubb the longer that Brissett has to play. So for me, I did a little bit of bumping Chubb up. He's now running back 14 for me. Just a slight bump there because, again, we're talking about a couple games where we had him projected at. And so I think he's going to be fine. You're still rolling him out. You're still starting him, right? There's no situation, especially with the matchups that you named, Panthers, Jets, Steelers, Atlanta, then you get the Chargers and Patriots. There's no situation where I'm benching Chubb. It's just maybe if you're looking at a Kareem Hunt, who, again, you're talking about where they're going to funnel passes to, it's probably going to be some dump offs to Kareem Hunt. So I really don't think it changes the running back room. What it does change is probably your wide receiver room, right? Any place that you wanted to start Amari Cooper confidently, he's going to be a low-end flex for me. Like, you're going to have no confidence, but you're going to say, hey, he's probably going to have, you know, the main target share of this offense for those first 6 weeks. So you're going to roll him out there, see how he does the first couple of weeks, and see if you can start him. But when he comes back, when Watson comes back, I think that's when Amari Cooper jumps from this low-end flex to probably a pretty safe wide receiver too. So that's something with it being a couple less games where I bumped up Amari Cooper now from wide receiver 30 to right around wide receiver 25, 26 area. So I definitely see him being a flex for the first six games, and then you have him as that safe wide receiver too for the rest of the season with Watson. And then just quickly to touch on Njoku, I know that Njoku's kind of been your guy of the offseason. I just think with these six games, there's no reason to draft him. He's going to be there on waivers, and he should be. I don't think he's going to have any games where you're like, man, I need to go get David Njoku on my team. So just draft a Gerald Everett. Just draft a Hunter Henry. Just draft somebody else if you're waiting at tight end. An Irv Smith, Cole Kmet. We've talked about a lot of these sleepers before. And then if they don't do great for you and you're looking at waivers come week five, week six, then you can add David Njoku at that time.
Well, one thing I want to mention with Nick Chubb is last year he faced seven or more defenders in the box. On 44.7% of his carries, which was second most in the league.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he saw a stack box last year. So it's not really going to get much more than what already what it was last year. So I don't think that changes. And I mean, compared to what Baker Mayfield was last year, I don't think Jacoby Brissett can be any worse than what Baker Mayfield was last year. And so I don't think it really changes a whole lot. And like I said, I think what it does is, you know, like, again, you see all these teams that are playing really bad teams, really bad offenses. And I think it just sets up perfectly for Nick Chubb. And so that's why I think that he sees the biggest boost from this. And where, though, maybe that you end up looking to, because I think, you know, once we get to like week four, week five, you could be talking about buying low on Amari Cooper, because I don't think Amari Cooper is probably going to have a ton of like boom weeks. And he could be somebody that you try to buy before Sean Watson comes back. And then, you know, with Nick Chubb, maybe you look to sell him once Deshaun Watson comes back. Because like we talked about, I do think Deshaun Watson negatively affects Nick Chubb in a lot of different ways because of his ability to run the ball, his ability, you know, I think he's been top five in red zone carries the last 2 years that he played when he was with the Texans. He was also, scored 10 rushing touchdowns over the last 2 years too that he played as well. So I do think this is going to somewhat negatively affect somebody like Nick Chubb, who doesn't catch passes out of the backfield and is more, but the other, I guess, argument is how efficient Nick Chubb is. He's one of the most efficient running backs in the league, but I still think, because I have Nick Chubb, I think RB13, I believe, is where I have him. Yep. And I may move him up to 12 because I think just these six games can obviously give him a little bit of a boost for those first 6 weeks of the season. But, you know, it's not a drastic change where I'm like, you know, he's jumping up in the top 10 or anything like that for me.
Yeah, so we view that kind of almost flipped where, like, I like Nick Chubb less during the first couple weeks, and you like him less when Watson comes back. I just think whenever you have that rushing quarterback, we've seen these running backs just have really efficient carries with their yards before contact. And so, obviously, with already how good that offensive line is, even though they lost J.C. Treader, I think you're not worried about Nick Chubb rushing the football. And honestly, even though that they brought in Watson, I know at the beginning you talked about can they – really change that offense to be more pass heavy. I don't think they do just because that this is how they've won games and this is how they've found their identity. Obviously with Watson, they can air it out a little bit more, but I don't think they're going to swing to the point where they're, passing it 35, 36, 37 times a game. They're still going to probably be pretty league average. So I don't think it takes a ton off the top for Nick Chubb, but you're right. This is why we've moved him outside of the running back one status because, hey, if you're losing a little bit of work, you're losing a couple rushing touchdowns. Now, all of a sudden, if you're not catching passes, you're just a locked-in running back too, which is fine. It's just we're used to Nick Chubb kind of sneaking into there as the running back 9, running back 10, right around there. And I just don't think he has that same ceiling anymore in this offense.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard-to-recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Well, one, well, I would push back on how much they're going to throw the ball. One, I don't think they're going to have a choice because once he comes back, they're playing. This is their schedule: the Ravens, the Bengals, the Dolphins. Okay, on that one, and then the Bills, the Bucks, the Texans again, or not the Texans, but not again, but the Texans, the Bucks. Or I already said the Bucks, the Bengals again, the Ravens again, the Saints, and then the Commanders to finish out the year. Like, good pretty much chunk of those games, they're going to have to throw the ball in those games.
Why? Yeah. Why?
How you think you're gonna be able to run the ball to be able to keep up with the Bengals, with the Bills, with the Bucks?
They're gonna be able to keep up. Fine. This is a good roster, Kev. Like, they're probably favored in some of those games.
Yeah, but you also don't bring in Deshaun Watson and pay them the absurd amount of money that they paid him with the guaranteed contract and everything else, and then be like, okay, well, we're just gonna run this just like we did with Baker, and we're just gonna throw the ball, 30 times a game. Like, I don't see that happening at all. Like, I think they are going to move to more of a pass first offense and less more on the run. I think you could see them go up to about a 60% pass rate or somewhere right around that range versus to what they've been in the years past where they've been around like 50%.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably league average, right? And that's, I think we're saying similar things where I don't think they're jumping to like that 580, 590, 600 mark. I think they're right in that league average of 570. For their passing attempts. And before, they used to be down at like the 500, 510, 515 mark. I think we're saying similar things where they jump it up a little bit, maybe 34 attempts a game, which is just about league average. I think it's going to be fine for Nick Chubb. Again, running back two, probably safe. You haven't said so far your thoughts on Amari, and are you taking any shots on any other wide receivers, or are you just waiting because there's no use to draft and just to have them probably cut on your team those first couple of weeks?
So, I mean, I've never really been a big fan of Amari, even when he was with the Cowboys, Like, my feelings were, like, if he can't do it with the Cowboys and, like, have, like, an elite season, he's probably never going to have an elite season. Mm-hmm. I think he's a good wide receiver. I don't think he's a wide receiver one. I don't think he's ever been. And, I mean, I think it's possible to Deshaun Watson, though, that he could be a wide receiver two, type wide receiver, which isn't bad. But with the wide receivers that are probably going to be going around, now he's going to fall, like, wherever he's at, because – just naturally people are going to take them, and not take them as high. I think because right now, mocks, stuff like that, you don't really know the answer. So you're just going to take them. I think now he does fall, and if he falls as like a wide receiver three, I would have some interest there. But understanding what you're getting yourself into, that probably for the first, 6 weeks, that maybe he's not, the same guy that you were hoping him to be. I don't think that him with Jacoby Brissett, though, is like this massive downgrade. Like, I think Jacoby Brissett's actually – one of the better backup quarterbacks to have in the league, right? I think he's competent. He's not great. He's not going to kill you either.
For the NFL, Kev, but fantasy wise, I mean, this guy averages 188 yards per game. Like,
last year he had a couple games last year against Tampa. He had 275 and two against the Raiders. He threw for 215, in that game. Like, again, nothing spectacular, right? But that was with the Dolphins where they had Jalen Waddle, they had Mike Gesicki, they had, kind of a little bit of a similar situation, Devontae Parker. I think Devontae Parker was actually hurt early in the year, so I don't even know if they even had him during that stretch. But I do still like David Njoku, and I think that he can be fine. I mean, again, you look at the games that he played with Jacoby Brissett last year, 6 targets, 12 targets, 6 targets, 7 targets last year for Mike Gesicki during that time. So, I mean, he definitely targeted the tight end. Typically you see tight ends get targeted by, backup quarterbacks because, they're looking for that safety valve, get the ball out of his hands quickly. And so I don't think this is like a death sentence. This isn't like a situation where your backup quarterback is just some god-awful quarterback. I just don't think that there's not going to be a lot of ceiling here for somebody like a Amari Cooper or a David Njoku. But as we know, with tight end, you don't need him to be. Like, David Njoku, if he gets 4 for 40 and it's score, we're happy. We're thrilled. That's a good week for a tight end. You're not expecting when you're taking David Njoku. I'm not taking him with the thought process of, oh, well, this guy's going to be some elite tight end. He's going to keep pace with, Mark Andrews or Kyle Pitts. But I think that I love David Njoku this year. Now without Austin Hooper, it's him and Harrison Bryant. They're going to run a ton of 12 personnel, and you're going to see them both on the field a lot. And there's not a lot of other reliable pass catchers behind Amari Cooper, right? You have David Bell, who's already banged up and hurt. And then Donovan Peoples-Jones would be the other guy once Deshaun Watson comes back that I have a lot of interest in. He has flashed at times what his upside can be, that deep threat in an offense. But, they've always been limited with the quarterback they have. Now you have Deshaun Watson, who we know can support, multiple wide receivers. And so I would have some interest, maybe more so, not something I'm necessarily going all the way to draft, but somebody that, week 4, week 5, I look to stash on my bench whenever Deshaun Watson comes back.
Yeah, just real quick. I mean, the problem with David Njoku is, yeah, he can get maybe the 3 for 35, 4 for 40, but there's just no touchdown upside with Jacoby Brissett, right? Like, this guy's a 3.5% touchdown rate. I think he threw 18 touchdowns in one of his seasons and 13 in the other, and these were full seasons that he started. Like, there's just no reason to start him because you're not expecting a touchdown any of those weeks, or you rather would start a Gerald Everett who's going to have Justin Herbert throwing him the ball. You're going to have Irv Smith, who can score with Kirk Cousins, who has one of the better TD pass rates, right? You want to take a shot on a tight end who's more likely to score in those weeks. So that's why I'm saying there's no reason to draft David Njoku. And then just going back to the Amari Cooper, because I want to pose this question, because you're like, I think he'll be fine. What if you're in the situation where you're looking at, hey, I've got MVS or Mecole Hardman or one of these guys. The Chiefs have a really fantastic week one. They all kind of spread the ball around. Wouldn't you rather take an upside shot with one of those guys over Amari Cooper when they're playing I think they have the Chargers week two, they have the Bucks week three or week four. Like, those are the flexes that you're probably going to have to decide. Do I want to start Amari Cooper, who might get 7 or 8 targets, probably not going to score a touchdown, or I can start MVS, who he isn't the for sure thing, but man, that upside, if he does hit that 60-yard touchdown, I feel like I'm going to lean towards these other high potential guys for my flex. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, over an Amari is what you're saying?
Yeah, because I'm just trying to play the scenario out. We come to week one, right? And I don't have all the schedules in front of me. It's Chiefs and Cardinals week one, right?
Right, and then they play the Chargers week two.
And they play, those are two games that you should expect a lot of scoring. It's going to be really hard to sit MVS for Amari Cooper. Like, just looking at it, we're 3 weeks out, 4 weeks out. It's going to be really hard to sit a potential guy who could score, in these first 2 weeks versus Amari Cooper, who I'm going to assume Jacoby Brissett throws 5 or 6 touchdowns in those 6 games, right? Like, he's barely throwing a touchdown per game. And so there's just not a lot of upside there for an Amari Cooper. And I'm an Amari Cooper guy. Like, I think he's a safe wide receiver too once Watson gets there. But I'm just trying to put it in context for people when they draft, hey, it might be fine to wait on Amari a little bit more and take that MVS shot, because especially those first 6 weeks, I think you just might have a better product.
I mean, where he's going currently, I mean, he's going right around Chris Godwin, Marquise Brown, Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Well, that's way Darnell too
Mooney,
high.
Jerry way Judy. All those wide receivers are going right around him. Chris Godwin, Mike Williams, and Brandon Cooks are going just ahead of him. He's going 57th overall, wide receiver 22 in PPR formats right now.
Yeah, you haven't said a name that I'd start.
I would rather have all of them over Amari Cooper. Easy. He would have to get down to like the Hunter Renfrow, Gabriel Davis
there
range.
You go. Yeah,
where I would think, because even Allen Robinson's still going 71, which is ridiculous. He should be going higher than that. But I would rather have Allen Robinson than Amari Cooper. But once we get to like Hunter Renfrow, yes, I would rather have Amari Cooper than Hunter Renfrow, and I would rather have Amari Cooper than Gabriel Davis, I think. But I would actually who's rather have DeAndre Hopkins or Amari Cooper? Because Amari Cooper or DeAndre Hopkins going 72.
I think I'd rather have Amari. I know he's that wide receiver one after week six, he's going to be the wide receiver one for the first 6 weeks. But again, I don't think he's going to be flex worthy. He's going to be low end flex. But once Watson comes back, I think he's a locked in safe wide receiver two, where I don't know if Hopkins A is the same guy, B, if Marquise Brown doesn't just continue to keep that wide receiver one role, right? And you also have Zach Ertz, who I think is a better tight end than your boy David Njoku, or at least is going to have a higher target share, right? So I just think there's more competition for Hopkins. So I'm gonna definitely take Cooper over Hopkins there.
I would go Hopkins just because I know when he comes back that I think that the ceiling is so much higher for him. But then what? What is Amari Cooper? But I've been kind of on that, like, if you can stash him and you can draft him as like your wide receiver four, I love that idea of taking him there. But but he has to go past all those guys like before I get to him. Or even like I would rather have probably Amari Cooper than Adam Thielen. But that's where the conversation starts for me. But I don't know if he's going to drop that far down to 70, 71, 72 in that range once you start getting in those range overall. So if he goes higher than that, I'm out. I'd rather have all those other wide receivers.
Here's one that I might struggle with here a little bit. I've been getting higher and higher on Alan Lazard. That one's a tough one for me. Where would you go with Alan Lazard and that potential to be the wide receiver one? Had 8 touchdowns on 60 targets, I think, last year from Aaron Rodgers. We know Aaron Rodgers is still going to throw touchdowns. Like, man, that's enticing to flip Alan Lazard over Cooper, but it's close.
Yeah, but you don't have to worry about it because Alan Lazard is still going 114th overall. So
yeah, I mean, I think that changes with Christian Watson missing the start of training camp. People are going to start to fade off him. They're going to have to go to him, right? They're not going to Sammy Watkins, the 1 week wonder, week one wonder.
Maybe, but like I thought, like Rashad Bateman would have started to rise by now, and like Juju Smith-Schuster continues to fall. Like he was actually going 81st overall recently. Now he's dropped down to 88. Rashad Bateman's going 92 overall. Like. A lot of these guys still aren't really rising. Like, I mean, of course, we're just at the beginning of August. And so, you know, we'll see where these guys really check in. But I don't know. Like, it doesn't seem like they're really shifting as much as I thought that they would.
What's up, Gator?
Like, I guess overall I'm not really, like, overly excited about this offense as a whole, right? Like, I'm just not, like – I don't think there's anybody that stands out to me of just like the must-have guys. Like again, like you know, week four, week five. If you want to take, you want to pick up a Donovan Peoples-Jones, and you know, you need a wide receiver. I don't mind taking a shot on just kind of see how things are going to play out when Deshaun Watson returns. I do like taking David Njoku. Don't know if I'd feel like great about him taking him as my my tight end one, but especially now with this news, maybe you're right. Maybe you wait, pick him up week four, week five, kind of the same situation.
Yeah,
with expecting.
There. He'll be there.
Maybe. Where is his ADP going right now?
One, I don't think people are drafting him currently. Honestly, I don't even know if in a
no. Normal, you're right. Yeah, he's tied at 19 right now.
Yeah, he's not getting
5th overall.
He's not getting drafted as is, right? And so unless he has a fantastic couple of weeks, back to back weeks, right, or maybe he has a 2-touchdown game, or he has a 100-yard game or something like that, there's gonna be no reason why people are picking him up. So you're gonna have him there week 5, week 6 if you want him. But again, for me, they're. I personally have so many other options. I understand in your case, you think a little bit more highly of him. In your case, I think that's when you're picking him up. If you're a guy that believes in David Njoku, don't draft him. Just pick him up week 5-ish, right around there.
David Njoku or Dan Arnold?
Oh, what are you going to do there? You're torn. The Dan Arnold.
Damn, I love Dan Arnold. I'm loving all the Dan Arnold hype that's coming out right now.
Good.
You know, me and D-Bro confident. And Maddie just living in, just taking it all in, just enjoying ourselves. With all the Darren Arnold hype that's coming out of camp, but
we better wrap this up before we go.
Yeah, there's one other thing that I did want to mention that shouldn't take too long. But Alvin Kamara news also, they did exactly what I thought they were going to do. They continued again 60 days out. Listen, this is not happening this year. Any good legal team is not going to allow this to play out during the season. They are going to once again they will push it back probably to January, February after the season's over with. And then this whatever suspension that's going to come for Alvin Kamara is going to happen in 2023. But in my opinion, there's no shot that he's going to get suspended this year. And so I think you just go back to wherever you had him prior to any news of a possible suspension. I have him at RB9. I think that's pretty a fair value for where maybe I should have him a little bit higher, maybe a little bit lower, whatever. But that's where I have him right now. And the good times in best ball where you could draft him at, in the 3rd round are officially over for Alvin Kamara because he's not getting suspended, which is pretty much I've been on that train for the last 3 weeks that this was coming and this is how this was going to play out. So,
yep. Nothing else to add there.
Yeah. So, Gator, we'll get to this last question and then we're going to wrap this up. We weren't even planning on going this long, but of course, true TFA style, here we are. Which of these two wide receivers would you both like to have the most? Or who would you want the least? Claypool, Lockett, Woods, Gabe Davis, Mooney, Bateman. Okay, so I can already – it's easy for me. It's definitely Mooney. And then the other one is probably Rashad Bateman are the two that I would want the most here for sure. And the ones that I would want the least are going to be Woods and Lockett.
Yeah, Lockett's going to be one of the lowest ones for me. I mean, I feel like Lockett falls off with the quarterbacks that they have there. They cannot support two wide receivers, and I think DK is going to be the alpha there and just kind of sustain, right, flex level. I think Lockett's going to be dropped in most leagues by week 3 or 4. So he's definitely lowest for me. I think Gabe Davis and Mooney and Bateman are kind of those top three for me. Probably Gabe Davis and then – I think I have Bateman just ahead of Mooney, but I'm right there with either one. You could talk either way on that one. But Gabe Davis for sure. I really like that potential of him being the wide receiver too there.
Yeah, definitely. So I would just rank the Mooney, Bateman, Gabe Davis, I don't know. Woods is right there with them, with that three, that bottom three group. Like, I don't really want any part of any three of them. Claypool possibly could, you know, maybe surprise some people this year, but I don't know. I mean, he thinks he's the, you know, top three wide receiver.
Top three.
But, you know, I would like to know what he's smoking or whatever he's on, but he's not even the top. I don't even, well, he might be the top three wide receiver on his own team, but you know, that's about it. But
yeah,
nowhere else is anywhere close to the top three, but hey, I love the confidence. So yep. Anyways, like I said, we weren't planning on going this long. We went almost 32 minutes, but listen, we will be back again on Wednesday night. We are doing a mock draft live, you know, and if you are in our Discord, it's for the Discord. So if you're not in our Discord, you can find the Discord link in the description below. In all of our videos, there's a link to our Discord in there. And if you want to jump in and do a mock with us, we'll be doing it live, like I said, on Wednesday night. Just jump in. If you're already in there, be sure to – Robbie, we put it out. And, you know, we will be mocking, I think, right around 9 o'clock. And so I think it'll be like a full-point 12-team league, so PPR mock. So if you want to do that, we got a lot of content coming. Me and Robbie, you know, been grinding it out. We got some throwdowns coming, some good ones coming for you guys this week. That'll be out. We also have an updated running back. Our RB rankings will be out this week. Updated wide receiver rankings will be out this week. Some more player profiles. I'm doing a throwdown as well with D-Bro from Fantasy Pro. So that'll be out probably Friday. That'll be good as well. So tons of content. We pretty much had a new piece of content every single day. We're probably going to have even more. Yes, we do have a Zeke throwdown, Walido. Zeke and Cam Akers. I'll just let it out of the bag. You know, you guys are here. I'll let you know. We're also doing Jonathan Taylor versus Christian McCaffrey. Of course, I have CMC and Robbie, obviously, on the other side of that. And then the other one we did was Darnell Mooney and Cortland Sutton, our three throwdowns. And then the one I'm doing with D-Bro is we're doing Mike Evans versus Keenan Allen. So looking forward to it. Let us know if there's any other throwdowns you guys want to see, any other content you want to see. But we will catch you on the next one. You guys have a good night. And if any other breaking news, we will jump back on here and we'll talk about it. Have a good night. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.